It is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game. GM, how are you today?
Outstanding. What a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day. You're wearing a fleece today and not going to burn up because it's about 27 degrees in here.
They keep it a little cool.
Well, that shows you the power and strength of Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, because we use Hiller in here, and it's about 27 degrees because I think that's what Ian sets it to. So that just shows you the power and strength of Hiller. Before we get started on the Titans, and I do want to go right to the Titans, and Floyd, you know exactly where I want to go right to.
Go for it.
Well, you know where I always go to when I start, you know, when I go right to the football team, where do I go?
Quarterback or coach?
Coach.
There we go.
So we'll get to this in a second. We'll get to this in a second. But first, I do want to say, Derek Mason, the Vanderbilt football coach, announced today, Turner Cockrell, who passed away last year, the Vanderbilt tight end, wore number 82. And he's got there's a nonprofit foundation called Turner's Heroes, which is a nonprofit centered on patient support through children's hospital and events and community engagement and funding pediatric cancer research. And they've got they've got a donation drive going. They try to raise $82,000 in 82 hours for Turner Cockrell because he wore number 82 at Vanderbilt. And they are currently at $60,000, and they're trying to get to their $82,000 goal by 9 o'clock tonight. So you can go on Twitter at Turner Shoes, where they'll explain to you how to donate. Vandy Football on Twitter and other places are telling you how to donate. But again, that they are $22,000 short of their goal of $82,000 for former Vanderbilt tight end Turner Cockrell, who passed away this year. So I just wanted to throw that out there and announce that. So I saw something today, Floyd, when I was watching, or I was at the gym, and at the gym we have a giant TV, and the giant TV had First Take on, and Stephen A. and Max Kellerman were debating, is Freddie Kitchens getting enough heat for the Browns 1-2 start? And I have no idea what they said because the sound was down, but they seemed like they were very engaged in whatever they were talking about. But again, the bottom scroll said, is Freddie Kitchens getting enough heat? And I thought, is Mike Vrabel getting enough heat for the Titans 1-2 start to start the season? And my answer to that would be a flat out no. He is not getting enough heat. Now, is a 1-2 season the end of the world? No. Is a 1-2 start mean you're going to be bad? No. Does it mean it's going to keep you from the playoffs? No. We all know that. And a lot of the problems the Titans have are not specifically Vrabel related. Some of them are. So I just saw that and I thought, you know, Mike Vrabel is not getting one speck of criticism. Not one drop. Not one ounce. Not one anything. Except from me. And I'm kind of stunned that here we are, Freddie Kitchens has coached three games, and they're on national TV saying, is Freddie Kitchens getting enough heat? And here we are, Vrabel's coached a whole season, spent all offseason talking good to great, and no one here is saying, is the coach getting any heat or enough heat or whatever you want to say to that? And I would say he's not getting enough heat only because he's not getting any heat. I mean, he deserves a little heat, not a lot.
I don't know where you're living. I mean, all I hear is Vrabel heat.
Well, that's because you only listen to me.
I hear every single day, endlessly, on and on and on. Why? Because it's football. If it was basketball, we'd be talking about timeouts. But that's the way it is. If you're a football coach in Tennessee, Jerry's going to rip your butt now. I guarantee you that.
I'm not that mad at Derek Mason. I mean, I was.
There were
68 points the other day.
You're mad at him, and you hate the guy at Tennessee. So we're right on schedule.
But again, I don't think Vrabel deserves a ton of criticism. Like, I don't think the reason they're 1-2 is because of Mike Vrabel. I don't think that. But, I mean, the decision to put Adoree Jackson back at punt returner was a terrible decision. I didn't like the way he used the timeouts at the end of the Indianapolis game.
Here we go.
And the other thing I'm now trying to figure out.
If I could do one thing in pro sports, or in any major college sports, pro sports, I wish somebody would teach these coaches how to use timeouts. Would you do that for us, please?
I would love to.
Could you go in and, because they, I'm sure they have never, ever discussed it.
I want $400,000
a year. They have never met on it.
Senior director of timeout decision making.
I've got a timeout guru here that can set, listen to me, NFL, college basketball, pro basketball.
I'm like Gene Steratore.
Any place, any sport that's got a timeout, we got a timeout guru.
Well, I'm like Gene Steratore, right? Like, you know, anytime there's a problem in football, they go to Gene. And anytime there's a problem in basketball, they go to Gene. Well, you know what? If you've got a thing with timeouts, you come to me. But, Ian, would you not agree with me that Vrabel's not even getting a shred of criticism from anybody right now?
Who's anybody?
You know, everybody except this show. You know, TV, radio,
nah, I can't go
papers.
That far. I mean, Morning Drive hasn't been ripping him, but they've been questioning the Adoree Jackson, you know, back there punt return kind of stuff, too. I don't think it's just you.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, I just saw that on First Take, and it said, how much heat should Freddie Kitchens be getting? And, I mean, I think I said this before they played the Titans. I never thought Freddie Kitchens was a real coach. So the Browns, John Dorsey should be getting the heat if that's a problem at coach, because he took the risk on hiring Baker's buddy to go be the head coach. And I look at this situation here with the Titans, and I wonder, like, is it a legitimate question? Is it a legitimate question for Kitchens to be talking on TV and saying, is Freddie Kitchens getting enough heat for the 1-2 start? Or, like, in Cleveland, they're asking Freddie Kitchens, is he going to give up the play calling on offense after three games? Here we are after three games this season, and I don't think anybody is upset at Vrabel, but I do worry the season could be going off the train tracks a little bit, and I look at the coach to be the one to put him back on the train tracks.
Well, I mean, Freddie came out. The first game was not good. I mean, I don't care who the coach is. I don't care how long he's coached. If you have a team that had how many penalties they had?
18 for 180.
Yeah, 18 penalties, you're going to be questioned.
One player ejected, another player could have been ejected.
So, I mean, there, right there is basis for, you know, questions number one. I think, I mean, he himself came out after this week and questioned his own play calling. So, and he said, hey, you know what? I've got to get better at this, and I will. I'll work at it and get better and better. But I think any time, and this is why coaches are so closed mouth. I mean, if you start questioning yourself, guess what? There'll be a lot of people out there that'll join right in with you and start questioning you. They may not know good, bad, or indifferent, but if you open that door, there will be a bunch of people come storming in.
Well, that's why Vrabel can't ever say anything about Tannehill. You know, he can talk about everything being week to week. Is quarterback week to week? No. Because if Vrabel opens the door to the discussion about the quarterback, then he's set a fire to everything they're trying to work on. So I give Vrabel credit in that regard. But do you think it's even fair for a guy like Kitchens for them to be discussing him? And do you think that, like, should we be looking at Vrabel? If I want to feel good about the Titans, in spite of their 1-2 start, would I not look to the head coach as a reason why I believe this team could get put on track?
Now, I'm a believer. Now, you're only a believer in this in certain sports. But I believe if you're the head coach, you're responsible for everything. 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 What color uniform you want, what kind of shoes you're going to wear, where you're going to practice, when you're going to practice, everything. So it's easy for me, if I want to start passing blame and pointing fingers, I mean, it's easy for me to go to the head coach. But I've also been not a head coach, but I've been
in charge of the head coach.
Yeah, long enough to know the things that he really can be a factor in, and things that he's not near as much a factor as people think he is. And so, you know, I think it's a matter of whichever way you want to go. I mean, this is a great thing about pro sports. You know, certain positions, if you're the quarterback and the coach, you're going to get, unless you're winning them all, somebody's going to find fault with what you're doing. And you just know that. That's part of your DNA. You're ready for it. You know, it's, you know, it's going to come, and you fine, smile and nod and go on and do your work.
So what do you find to be a, what would you criticize, not say what would you directly criticize Vrabel for, but what is actually fair to look at Vrabel and say, okay, this is your responsibility. And the fact that the line can't block right now, as much as you guys are trying to figure out a way to keep that line together, you got a practice squad guard out there going against Calais Campbell. What's a Vrabel supposed to do? You know, Vrabel can take him out of the game, but all he's doing is putting in another practice squad guard to go against Calais Campbell, and the same result's going to happen, and Vrabel knows it. So I can't blame Vrabel. Like, I don't blame Vrabel for the fact that Mariota's been sacked 17 times. But I do blame Vrabel for the fact that Adoree Jackson is back there returning punts when he can't return punts. So what is fair to blame Vrabel for?
Adoree Jackson returned 8 punts and kickoffs for touchdowns in college. 8.
I don't care about what happened in college.
He's returned 2 in his 2 years here.
No, he hasn't.
He's returned 2.
0.
They were both called back, but we both saw him return 2.
One was in a preseason game.
He is a big play guy. Now, if you've ever been around punt returners, and you've heard me talk about returning punts.
And you know I haven't been around punt returners other than working with D. Mace here.
Yes, and he will tell you, yes, D. Mace, returning a punt is not easy. If you haven't fumbled a punt, it's because you haven't returned a punt. Because I don't care who you are, if you've returned punts, you've fumbled them. I mean, that's the way it works. And so it's never, ever acceptable. And it's never, ever the end of the earth because you know the problems are. And you spend hours and hours with punt returners. Watch your nose of the ball. Is the nose up? Is the nose down? Is it going to sail? Is it going to pull up? What's the wind doing to it? Is it corkscrewed? Is it a knuckleball? There's a zillion things that can happen back there. And returning punch, just catching a punt. If it's somebody that knows what they're doing, a punter that knows what they're doing, is one of the harder things you do in the NFL. Just catching them. So that's why I was shocked. And again, I didn't see the fumble, but I was shocked that I thought he caught the ball and fumbled it.
No.
He didn't even catch it. He just didn't pick it up. Well, I mean, you can blame.
So you say that is not a Vrabel.
You can blame whoever you want.
Thing.
I mean, once again.
But what is a Vrabel? What should
the
Vrabel?
Ball, let me ask you this. The ball's on the ground. What's your job? Pick the ball up.
No, it's not.
It's not.
Just stay away from it. Don't touch it.
But you've already touched it.
No. He hadn't touched it at this point. He ran up to it, and I'm thinking, don't touch the ball.
Well,
Adoree, don't go get the ball.
Once he touched it, all he's got to do is pick it up.
Just fall on it. Just fall on it.
Pick it up. Do any of those things. Any of the things other than what he did. I mean, so I think you can blame whoever you want.
But see, with me, I've had a lot of problems with Adoree returning punts, and I feel like putting him back out there officially falls into the coaching it or allowing
until,
it to happen category.
Unless he returns one this week. And it wins you the game.
He hasn't returned one ever.
And then it will be a great coaching job, a great move, a really well done
deal. I will stick my foot in my mouth if Adoree Jackson returns a punt for a touchdown. It has 0% chance of happening. But I go back to what is a Vrabel thing and what is not a Vrabel thing. But let's ask the callers too. Again, Mike Vrabel spent all day yesterday preaching accountability. How accountable is Vrabel for the 1-2 start? And how much heat should Vrabel be feeling? Or are some of these issues not Vrabel issues? And I'm fair to that interpretation as well. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Your thoughts, 615-737-1025. And on the other side, Vrabel has just been all about preaching accountability. What does that mean? We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesale Inc. studio powered by RumbleOn.com. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game and streaming on the Game Nashville app.
We focused over the weekend and today on accountability and fundamentals. And that's just, you know, what I felt like was something that was easy that we could all look at in the meeting rooms this morning. Being accountable You know, I told him a story. I had a teacher in the fifth grade. I hope he's watching. Not sure if he is or not, but when we got in trouble, you know, he made us write out like 3,000 times, I will take responsibility for my own actions. Figured out later on in life that was called accountability, you know, taking responsibility and fixing it. You know, it's not just enough to say, you know what, I have to be better, but it's like I have to be better and then this is how I'm going to fix it.
That was Mike Vrabel yesterday talking about accountability, which has been a big buzzword for him for the last 4 days. I have not heard it since before the first 4 days. Now, I've always looked at Vrabel as a guy who holds people accountable, so it's not like it's, you know, stunning that Vrabel is preaching accountability. It's just stunning how much Vrabel is preaching accountability in the last 4 days. So you heard that right there where he talked about accountability and then explained, you know, when you write something on the board 1,000 times, that's the, you know, that I learned later was accountability. But this isn't the first time Vrabel has brought up accountability. Again, after the game Thursday, on Friday, Vrabel's first thing was accountability.
Well, I think the accountability and the fundamentals is something that we really have to focus on today, over the weekend, especially on Monday with the extra day of practice. I think that that's what the message is going to be to the team, is that we have to take accountability for our choices, our actions, coaching and playing, and then we have to improve our fundamentals, you know, and use Monday as a day to really, you know, concentrate on that.
Floyd, I'll start with you. What do we make of Vrabel preaching accountability? Why now, and what does he actually mean, and who is the message to?
Well, I don't – I mean, even though he hasn't used the word accountability, or I haven't heard it used much, I mean, this is kind of one of those things that they've been preaching all along. You know, this is do your job. That's what accountability is. And that's, we've heard that slogan, you know, used throughout the league. So I think it's more along the lines of, hey, you guys, you know what your job is. It's just like I used to tell people in the organization, I'm going to tell you exactly what your job is, and I'm going to give you all the tools to do that job. And if you can't do it, then you got to go. It's that simple. And so that's basically what he's saying, I think, is he's saying, hey, you know, I'm going to teach you what your job is. We're going to give you, you know, hopefully you'll have the tools to do that job. Then, you know, you got to do it. And if you can't do it, then we got to find somebody else come in and that can do it.
So this is a warning sign to a lot of players in the team. That is, if you don't do what you're supposed to do, I'm going to move on.
I don't know. I mean, again, I think this is something they've been preaching. He's, you know, this is it has been in his DNA since Bill. You know, this goes way. He's been one of these kind of guys for 25 years, probably, you know, as long as he was a Patriot. And so I think this is just more of the same, you know, more of the, now he may be emphasizing it more or may has used a different word or, you know, whatever the case may be, but it all boils down to the same stuff.
See, to me, this is brand new since Jacksonville, and I don't know what it is.
Have you heard him do your job?
I've heard Bill Belichick say that.
You haven't heard Vrabel say do your job?
I don't think I have. I don't think I have had, I mean, I haven't seen Vrabel walking around with a do your job hat. I know that much.
Did you see Bill with one?
Yeah.
A do your job hat?
They all wear do your job stuff around there. It became like incredibly popular merchandise.
Let me say this now. I was only there for 4 or 5 years.
Well, I guess he doesn't wear hats.
I never saw one do your job hat or t-shirt. Not one.
Well, it all came out after they started doing the do your job documentaries, which was 2014, which was after you left. But, again, it has become very publicized, the do-your-job thing. The only thing we had heard about this year before we got to accountability with Vrabel was good to great. That was all we kept hearing, good to great. And now it's gone right to accountability. And I'm trying to figure out, like, if I don't know who the targets for accountability are, then I don't know what you mean by accountability.
If you think you're a target, then you are. So, Adoree, not picking up the punt, would you think he considers himself a target? Absolutely does. You know, the right guard, not blocking Calais Campbell. You think he considers himself a target? Absolutely does.
But the right guard can't block Calais Campbell.
You know what? Then guess what? And I love you, and you're really, but you're not an NFL player. You got to go do something else,
okay,
man.
Okay, then they'll put in somebody else.
That's fine.
And that guy won't be able to block Calais Campbell either.
Well, then that guy will have to go do something else. I mean,
and then they'll go call. Where are they going to get the guy?
At some point.
If we want to talk accountability, I blame John Robinson for the right guard more than I blame the right guard for the right guard.
At some point in time, you have to find somebody that can block as a right guard, whoever that may be.
And if by some point in time you mean Sunday, then yes, that is the point in time. Because, I mean, the Titans can tell me about how early it is in the season, and I agree. I do agree that it's early in the season, and I do agree 1-2 is not the end of the world. But 1-3 gets me a lot closer to the end of the world than 1-2 is. And so
I just looked at this just for the heck of it. And last year, Cincinnati, Miami, Jacksonville, Tennessee.
3-1.
All 3-1.
New England was 1-2 to start the year last year.
Houston, Indy, 1-3. So, you know, however you want to approach that.
I don't want to be 1-3.
If your choice is, if you can be 1-3 to be 11-5, you want that?
Yes.
Okay. You want to be 3-1 to finish 4-12? No. Okay. Then we'll be all right.
Okay. But my whole point being, what is with the newfangled accountability buzzword detail? Who's the target? What does it mean? And I don't know the answer with Vrabel. And I don't know. I mean, is he pointing the finger at Adoree? Maybe he is. I mean, if you look at the Vrabel-Adoree, I don't say relationship, but the way Vrabel has talked about Adoree, he has been very subtle to, I guess, show that he has not been happy with Adoree since the start of training camp. You know, the first preseason game, every defensive player that starts plays 8 snaps. Byard, 8 snaps. Vaccaro, 8 snaps. Butler, Ryan, all those guys played 8 snaps. Adoree played 24. Why did Adoree play so many more snaps? Oh, you know, I just wanted to get Adoree out there and give him some work. Then he talked about Adoree keeping his focus on the game. And, hey, you know, he needs to focus. And it's hard to focus all the time, but he's got to do it. And now Adoree drops the punt. Adoree gets the PI. Adoree Jackson's worried about his entertainment career in USA Today, which is a whole nother rant that I'll get going on at some point. And here comes Vrabel, and now he's talking accountability over and over and over again. Maybe Adoree is the target of that. You brought up Friday. Maybe Marcus is the target of the accountability discussion. Like, maybe it's about him. I don't know.
I have no idea either, but I would guess there's probably 20 or 30 guys that are targets.
Well, if you got to have that talk with 30 guys about accountability on September 20, whatever it is, 24th, I mean, isn't that a little bit of a problem for your good to great football team?
Well, no. I mean, I would say every week you could talk to 20 or 30 guys about do your job. I mean, when you go out there and you play 75 or 80 plays, not every one of them is going to be perfect. And that's what we're trying to get, every one of them to be perfect. So, you know, if you play 70, you play 70 plays, if 15 of them are really bad and the rest are really good, you maybe lose the game. Now, that you know, 60,
like the Indy game?
60 were really, really good. But those other 15, we ended up getting the quarterback killed in those 15. So guess what? That's not good enough. You know, it's got to be.
But why, Vrabel? Like, why now is accountability buzzword? Do your job. He has not through, 19 games of coaching. He has not at any point just hammered that word in like he has the last 2 days.
Every single coach in the world, every single day, uses some phrase, uses something that boils down to, do your job. whatever, however you want to term it, whatever phrase you want to use, what it makes no difference. But it all boils down to the same thing. I'm coaching you to do it this way. Why aren't you doing it this way? Do it this way, or I've got to change. I mean, that happens every single day, 1,000 times.
And now Vrabel's just being more vocal about it?
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I never even thought anything about it.
Oh, he's been hammering the word accountability. And I just want to know, like, what's changed? You know, what has Vrabel seen? What happened in the last 2 weeks?
Nothing has changed.
What, something's happened
nothing
to him in the last 2 weeks.
Nothing has changed. Nothing.
Something.
He has, I promise you, every single day he goes to practice, every single day he's in the meeting room, every single day he is trying his darndest to get those guys to do it exactly the way they want it done, perfectly. And if they didn't do it perfectly, then, you know, they're not going to be happy. I mean, that's coaching.
Let's get your calls in. 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The Titans are saying one thing. My gut is telling me another. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And, of course, we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
You said there's not a lot of, I guess, worry about where you are right now. But does there have to be a sense of urgency this week? Because 1-3,
I would say, I mean, because if we don't, y'all going to make a big deal out of it. So we better change that real fast.
Delaney Walker says, hey, if we don't change it real fast, you guys are going to be in here bothering us about being 1-3.
He's right about that.
So I got to ask you, if you're the Titans, are you worried? Are you frustrated? 1-2, here you are. They asked Delaney Walker about how frustrated are you with the way things are going?
I'm not frustrated at all. I don't think anyone is in this locker room. I mean, maybe they probably disappointed that we didn't win the game, I would say. But everything's fixable, I think, early in the season. We still got a lot of football left, so we need to fix it.
So he says they need to fix it. I agree, but he says he's not frustrated. He's early in the season. Roger Saffold paid $1 billion to come in here and block and has done absolutely none of that. Roger, are you worried about where this team is?
No, we have 13 games left, so I'm not worried. The biggest thing is what can you do to improve? You know, we're going to get some nuances from different teams. That's something that they're just going to do. You know, last week they heated us up a bunch, and we need to make sure that we took care of our responsibilities. Everybody on offense to be able to correct third down this week could be exactly the same. It could be some movements. It could be something else. So it's just going to be how do we adjust. Coaches have taken responsibility. We have taken responsibility, but I think that we'll get it fixed.
Floyd, they're not worried. Should I be worried? And are you worried?
Well, I'm not worried. I mean, I'm concerned. I'm more concerned about this last game, about the Jacksonville game, than the others.
Because you think Atlanta's going to bring the house on every play.
Well, now the blood's in the water, you know. So now you're going to have to do something about that every week. Prior to that, I mean, the second game was only an issue for me because we lost it. You know, I mean, first game's fine. Second game, we lost. We messed up. And then the third game got our butts kicked. You know, so that's what ticked me off more than anything else. You know, worst case scenario, you should be 2-1. I mean, there's no way that you could beat Jacksonville the way we were playing and the way they played. So, you know, you say, fine, that's one for them and we'll go after. But the Indy game was the one that I felt the worst about, simply because, like I said, it's not. I didn't feel like they just went out and won the game as much as we gave them the game.
So I am worried. But here's why I'm worried. I agree with you. 1-2 is not the end of the world. New England last year was 1-2, and they got housed at Jacksonville and at Detroit. Just two terrible teams last year. And the reason I'm worried is because, number one, Deshaun Watson, I've seen him play two of his three games, and I did watch him play the Jags. He was not. What I saw against the Saints and the Chargers was night and day from what I saw with Watson against the Jags. Watson against the Jags, left a lot to be desired. Watson against the Chargers and the Saints was balling. So Deshaun Watson is the number one reason why I'm worried right now, because if he gets on a roll and they keep him healthy, which is no guarantee, but if he gets on a roll, they keep him healthy, then yeah. Buffalo, the next game, which is a home game, which should be a sure win, the Bills are 3-0. Now, their quarterback can't stop turning the ball over, but they're 3-0. Buffalo may not be bad this year. So I'm worried about that. You're 0-2 in your own division, which we've learned that if you lose, you have to win in the AFC. You have to win in the division, obviously, because it's your division, but you have to win in the AFC. Because if you lose in the AFC, it porks you on every tiebreaker. So you have got to win AFC games. Titans are 1-2 in the AFC. But my biggest concern right now is nobody is making a play. Nobody is making the game-changing play that wins you a ball game right now. A.J. Brown made a couple in the first game, and Byard had an interception against Cleveland that I thought was a complete and total game-changer. Other than that, how many big game-changing plays have the Titans made this season? I mean, Brissett fumbled the ball one time where he literally just lost the football and the Titans got it and they got a field goal out of it.
Well, I mean, how many game-changing players do you have?
And that therein lies maybe the problem of the team.
I mean, you don't have anybody that you're going to, you know, that you're going to stick. You don't have a pass rusher right now, unless it's Cameron, that, you know, you say, okay, we've got to get a sack. This is 4th and 10. We got to put pressure on a quarterback. He can maybe do it. But, I mean, right now, your inside linebackers are making tackles, which is all well and good, but kind of like the defensive tackles, there are no explosive plays coming out of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, secondary, we're getting a couple of interceptions, which is great, but we don't do anything with them on offense. And so, you know, you say on offense, okay, who's gonna be the spark? And I just don't know who that is yet.
Well, Henry's
if there
got
is one.
Henry's got to be the main guy you look to on offense. But the problem is every time he has a good run, they either take him out of the game or they call holding and the ball has to go back 15 yards.
It's hard to have a running back that is just a running back be that guy, because when he's in the game, everybody knows what he's going to be doing.
Mm-hmm. It's like Kamara can be that guy because they can do anything
Kamara
with it.
Kamara can do that because he may line up back there and they may turn around and give him the ball, or he may motion out and they throw it to him on a bubble screen and he can go 80 with. So, I mean, there are a lot of things he can do to keep the defense on their toes. When Henry's in the game, I mean, they're going, if they can, they're going 8 in the box and they're saying, hey, if you can beat us throwing the ball, go for it. But we're not letting him get started.
Well, to that point, though, Davis hasn't made any big plays this year. He made the one-handed catch and then he, you know, fumbled the ball. Brown had 2 against Cleveland and has been on a milk carton ever since then. Delaney made plays in the Cleveland game, but Delaney and Humphreys are not like the big play, game-changing kind of guys.
Well, yeah, but
if
I mean,
I had to say anyone's making the biggest plays right now, it's Sharp, and I can't stand Sharp.
If somebody, to me, those aren't, you know,
when Sharp is not going
to
change.
When it's 1st and 4 on the 4 and we throw the ball to the tight end on some kind of a checkout, that's not a game-changing play.
Right.
That's just regular old football. We could do that with a tackle like we did last week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's just ball. Game-changing plays are pick sixes. Game-changing plays are, you know, I throw you a slant and you go 82 with it. Game-changing plays are Derrick Henry's 75-yard screen. You know, those kinds of things are, you know, Marcus throwing a 55-yard pass to Davis or somebody down there that catches it and strolls in the end zone. Those are game-changing plays because they're sudden and they are explosive. And when they hit you, it's kind of like, you know, it puts you on your heels. But, I mean, to just take the ball and run, you know, four yards a carry for 15 plays and get in the end zone, although I love it, and although it's just not, that's ball. You know, that's what we're paying you to do.
So, is that a major concern that they don't have game-changing players? That they're not making game-changing plays, and they don't have...
Well, I mean, you can't... If you don't have anybody that can do it, it's hard to expect it.
Well, and all I know is the other team Sunday has Julio Jones, and he can make the
yes. I mean, you look at him. They've got Julio, they've got Sanu, and they've got the little Alabama kid.
Ridley.
Ridley, who I think set a rookie record for touchdowns last year. All three can change the game in one snap. All three. So, you know, that's the difference. I mean, you wouldn't say that about any of our guys.
615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Vrabel says he's going to do something, and I'm literally going to lose my mind if he does it. We'll get to that coming up next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025 AM.
We focused over the weekend and today on accountability and fundamentals. And that's just, you know, what I felt like was something that was easy that we could all look at in the meeting rooms this morning. Being accountable, you know, I told him a story. I had a teacher in the fifth grade. I hope he's watching. Not sure if he is or not, but when we got in trouble, you know, he made us write out like 3,000 times, "I will take responsibility for my own actions." Figured out later on in life that was called accountability, you know, taking responsibility and fixing it. You know, it's not just enough to say, you know what, I have to be better, but it's like I have to be better, and then this is how I'm going to fix it.
Accountability. I'm going to fix it. It's that everyone's got to be accountable, including the coaches, right, Floyd?
He said everyone.
Coach has got to be accountable, including this coach. And I could not believe what I heard with my very own ears when he was asked, what are you going to do? You're going to keep a Dory Jackson on that punt return unit, coach?
Well, I mean, I think we're going to focus on, you know, improving in that unit. That's something that we have to improve on. And I would say that, you know, there's been accountability there, and you know, we'll look to work in guys as we see fit, and you know, he'll be in there in some capacity.
Does there reach a certain point where?
Well, I mean, I think that there always is, and I think that, I mean, I think that as coaches, you have to figure out what a player does best, what his strengths are, and do everything in your power, and what's best for the team. To put him in a position to help us. And so, you know, that's kind of where we've been. You know, Hump's done it, you know, and he'll continue to do it. And Adoree's going to continue to work on it. I mean, we feel like he's got a skill set that can help us. You know, I know he'd had some plays there on Thursday he'd like to have back. And, you know, only thing we can concentrate now is on improving it and moving forward.
Couple of things. Number one, keep Adoree off the punt team. Keep him off of it. Off. Number two, don't the Titans need to get this figured out, who the punt returner is going to be? This idea of, and I heard him say something yesterday along the lines of, yeah, we're going to work Humph in there, and we're going to work DJ in there, talking about Darius Jennings, and we're going to stick with Adoree in there, and we're going to keep. That doesn't sound like what I'm used to seeing in the NFL. What I'm used to seeing is, you're the punt returner, you return the punts. Not, well, we got about 7 punt returners we can rotate through. So that's a concern. The second thing, or I should say the third thing, because the first thing was keep Adoree off the punt unit, was at what point does Adoree was a really good returner in college, Adoree is really, really fast, and thus we think he has the skill set to be a good returner in the NFL, at what point does that just go to the side of, he's just not a good returner in the NFL?
I don't see. I mean, I don't. One fumble.
Two.
When was the other one?
He fumbled in the playoff game at Kansas City. Oh, almost cost him the game.
Yeah, but it didn't. I mean, that was. So that's. So he's had two. How many punts has he returned, I wonder?
I don't know. And he's probably had more fumbles than that. I just can't remember.
And
other
he's
fumbles.
Had two punt returns, and we lost one. One cost us.
Well, the only reason that it didn't cost you in the Kansas City game is because Harrison Butker missed like a 35-yard field goal.
That all counts. All that stuff counts. So, I mean, I don't – it's like I said before. I mean, ask D. Mace if he ever fumbled.
Ask D. Mason if he thinks Adoree's any good at returning punts.
He will tell you that if you're a punt returner, you will fumble at some point in time. You're going to get hit, or you're going to, you know, the ball's going to be wet, or the wind's going to get it, or it's something. Something's going to happen. I mean, it's just really, really a scary job. And I don't, I mean, I have always been the type that I had a returner, too, that I liked in both kicks and punts. But they don't have that. They don't have, I mean, they got Jennings, who I guess is considered the kick returner. And I mean, I don't think, I mean, in my mind, it's either going to be Adoree or Hump that are back there almost all the time.
They put Humphreys back there. I've seen enough of Adoree back there returning. By the way, in 3 years of returning punts, Adoree has returned 53 punts. He has a long of 46 and is averaging 8.8 yards per return.
9 yards a return. We'll take that.
I'll take that if you don't fumble the game away. That's the way I feel about it. Adoree has fumbled in his career 5 times. He has fumbled 5 times. So make of it, in 3 years, he's fumbled 5 times.
In his career, his NFL career?
Yes.
Oh, I don't remember 5 fumbles.
I'm just telling you what the stats say.
Oh, well, a fumble. It depends on how they, if you fumble and recover, they call that a fumble.
So he has 2 fumble recoveries, so maybe 2
that's
of those.
Not, yeah, yeah.
So he has 3 fumbles in 3 years and the playoff fumble. No, thank you. Take him off the punt team. Accountable coach. And speaking of accountability, if Adoree does something again on the punt return team, cost you another game, then I'm going right at Vrabel for the entire thing. And I won't even care what else happens in the game. Marcus can spike the ball on first, second, third, and fourth down, and I'll still be mad at Vrabel. Let's go to your phone. Steve is up next. What's up, Steve?
You said a while ago that we're 1-2. That's not so bad. But my question is this. If we have 13 games to go, and let's assume it takes 10 wins to get into the playoffs, do you think the Titans are going to go 9-4? I'll hang up and listen.
Thank you for the call. Floyd Reese, do you think the Titans are going to go 9-4 the rest of the way to get in the playoffs?
Oh, to get to 10 wins?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I ever predicted they would get double-digit wins. I mean, I've always been a 9-win guy.
You said if they beat Cleveland, then they would get the 6th wild card spot.
Yes, which nine wins we'll get. So there we go.
So you haven't been a good to great guy? I still think it's really, I mean, I question the quarterback play right now and the line. And the offensive line is obviously a mess. Now, Delanie Walker says that they're not going to get better just by adding Taylor Lewan back. But I have to pray that he's wrong, because if that's not the case, then I don't see an end in sight. But, I mean, the Titans still very much could get on a roll. It's hard to fathom because they've lost so many division games already, but if the Titans get on a good roll, and they have the schedule to do so up until they play Kansas City on November 10th, if they get on a roll, then they'll be okay. I feel like at this point I'm just praying that they get on a roll, and I don't have anything that makes me think they'll go on a roll.
Right.
Let's go to AG. What's up, AG?
Yo, Jerry, man, you've been having some good segments, but man, you a little biased, man, when it comes to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel, man. John Robinson done put together a solid roster, man. It gets a little better every year. And Mike Vrabel, I don't know if Mike Vrabel is a good coach or not, man. The man only been here 1 year. But when it comes to Mariota, I don't know what it is. I don't know if he's paying you or what, but it's just not. I'm just holding you accountable right now. You're just not fair across the board. You were picking Marcus just a little bit. But most of your attempts, you try to reflect it on Mike Vrabel and John Robinson. Man, I listen to the show every day.
What have I said about Marcus?
You do a little tit for tat with Marcus, man. I don't know what it is.
I am not. Let me just say this. I am not happy with the play of the starting quarterback. Is that fair, AG?
No, that ain't good enough. I mean, because you go off about when Vrabel do something wrong and John Robinson, you blow it out of proportion. But like I said, Marcus Mariota, you will say, I'm not happy with Marcus Mariota's play. Then you try to go somewhere else with it. Come on.
I'm not happy with his play.
Come on, man. I'm going up and listen to you.
Thank you, AG. I'm not happy with his play. I'm not. He was horrible against Indianapolis. He was bad, although he, to me, was on the list, was not number one on the list, but he's on the list of everything that went wrong at Jacksonville. I'm not carrying the bucket for Mariota. I don't know why people think I am.
Yes, you are.
No, I am not.
Yeah, yes. I don't know why, but I mean,
it just makes it more fun. Speaking of Mariota, Mike Vrabel asked about what it will take to get Marcus going. Why his answer just rolls off my back. We'll get to that next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025. The game, more phone, 615-737-1025. Authentically American, that's right. Going to be hanging out with my buds from Authentically American later this week. Anywho, if your company needs business apparel, you need to check out my guys at Authentically American. When we're on location and rocking those 1025 The Game polos, you know those things are pure, made in the USA. We wear them a lot more than just that, though, because we absolutely love them. Your business will love them, too. Thanks to the fact that not only our polos are made in the USA with those made in the USA specific features, but they're a significantly better product with the no-roll collar and the performance moisture-wicking fabric. Everything from Authentically American is made in the USA. It is competitively priced with what you're already buying. That's right. My friends at Authentically American. Authentically American, a brand about celebrating patriotism, believing in the American worker, and honoring the American hero as they donate 10% of gross profits to veteran and first responder charities. Authentically American, online at AuthenticallyAmerican.us. That's AuthenticallyAmerican.us, the next iconic brand that is truly American-made. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 1025, The Game.